Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I know we have in the offing somewhere, I think we've got Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. So in a moment, we will be bringing Ted on. And we'll be talking about a little project that we have planned along with Ted that I was discussing with some people today. Our number is 877-876-7445. And, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com with a backstage pass. You can watch a streaming video of our show tonight. Well, episode 17 of our podcast is up. And I said that it is part two of our pervert trilogy, although I don't know what part three is going to be.
Yeah, but it's pretty not a bad way.
Yeah, pretty not a bad way to what?
To promote it.
Well, yeah. So part one of the pervert trilogy was Charlie LaFountain talking about kids should not bathe and should not wash and should basically stink, right?
Yeah, he said, I gotta smell like a dead goat or a corpse.
Yeah, like a corpse or a corp.
A corp? What's a corp?
Or a corpse.
Yeah. But just because it says C-O-R-P, like the Marine Corps, that means core.
Yeah, but why do you do it like that?
I don't know, man. Just that's how it's pronounced. Corp. So that's part. Now, part two of the Free Phil Hendry podcast pervert trilogy is up today. And that is Austin Amarca talking about a camp Broken Eagle or some jive. I don't know. But his idea of teaching children how to stay away from these dangerous people is by role-playing being a pervert. Basically, what he was saying was he's taking his pants off in front of these kids.
Yeah, so that makes him a perv.
Yeah, pretty much. But he doesn't see it that way. It's no, this is what it looks like. And the line from that, which is absolutely unacceptable, as he said, if I've got to drop my pants in every kindergarten in America to teach these kids what a pervert looks like, then I'm going to do that. And
man, that guy ought to be in jail.
Well, he'll be in jail if they ever catch him doing that kind of stuff. It's unbelievable, but unfortunately, tragically, really funny. All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Can we get, I don't know if we have Mr. Bell ready to go or not, but what we're going to be talking about with Ted Bell is this? Well, I'll tell you this right away. I'll just give you the stuff up front. There is a planned series that we'd like to do with Ted Bell. Here's Ted. Is he ready?
Yeah.
Ted Bell is coming on from Ted's of Beverly Hills with us, folks. Hey, Ted.
Ted.
Yeah. Are we on the air?
No, hold on.
Okay. Come on. Oh, hey, everybody, Ted Bell here from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and I'll tell you, it's always a great time at Ted's of Beverly Hills. The all-day roasted prime rib, we're still roasting it from last Sunday. It must be black by now. I'm kidding, of course. I would, we can joke about the food, you know, that we serve, Phil, because we do such a spectacular job at Ted's of Beverly Hills. We enjoy all of the customers. We have some long-standing customers. We have some new customers. We enjoy it all, Ted's of Beverly Hills.
All right, Ted, today I was talking with some friends, and we do want to get into the restaurant there.
Yeah, but give me the short version, will you?
Well, the short version is that the, and I don't know how much of the, I think this would interest the audience.
But yeah, let me just back up here for a minute. I know that I'm on the air. I know I'm on with the Phil Hendry program. I appreciate very much all that that you people out there. But I wanted to talk to Phil about this, and so for this is tough to say, I guess. But for the next few minutes, I don't really care what they think. Is there a better way of saying that?
Well, yeah, there might be a better way of saying that. I mean,
well, you lead the way. You tell me.
All right, maybe we could just say this is a. We're talking business, but I don't want to exclude the audience.
Well, we're wasting, as you like to say, we're burning daylight here, worrying about them. Could you tell me what...
All right, in any event, folks, if I could just use the word folks...
Yeah, that'll include them.
So, we're talking about having this...
Well, what are we talking about? What's the bottom line here in terms of how many times we're going to see the name Ted in this series of in these vignettes that we're going to produce? Now, I know I'm going to be in all of them, and they're going to involve life at the restaurant, correct?
That's correct.
All right. How many times am I going to see Ted's of Beverly Hills in any given program?
That part I don't know, because...
Why is that?
Well, because you won't let us shoot at the restaurant. We have to go somewhere else.
Well, I don't, look. I can't have it. All right. I mean, you're talking about an operation. Phil, I love you, and I think that you're a great guy, but I can't.
I understand, but the thing that kind of hurt my feelings, didn't you allow access? There was another film crew there.
Yeah, I know. I told you about that.
Right.
Yeah, that was a big company, and I can't have you and your college intern friends, you know. And
you know something, Ted? If you want me to do this for you, then you might want to.
Are you going to lecture me?
No, but I mean, you're telling me my college intern friends. So in other words, we're going to do a production. It's going to be about your restaurant. We're going to be there. We're going to film it, and you think it's on the cheap.
Look, all I'm telling you is you can't use my restaurant.
Okay, so that means that we have to insert the name Ted's of Beverly Hills digitally.
What's that mean?
It means that we have to put in a computer-generated Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Oh, for God. Are you telling me it's going to be one of those things that's going to be, like, over my face? And
No. It'll look like it's on a sign.
Yeah, well, that's what they tell you, but then they wind up producing this thing. I don't know. I'm going to have to see it, but if I see it over my, you know how these logos, sometimes they're over the face. Now, I don't want to come off with, I'm going to tell you this right now, Phil. I'm looking to promote my restaurant. If it starts looking like that bear pit, and I say this.
It's not going to look like the bear pit.
I'm just telling you, if it starts looking like the bear pit commercial with that, and that gal, and the thing that bothers me, and it's one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, is I'm disturbed by,
We're burning daylight.
Yeah, I know. That's your favorite. That phrase is starting to piss me off, too.
I'm sorry, but that's what we're doing.
All right. I am disturbed by a lot of things. All right, let me stick to business. I'll talk about that later.
Tell me what you're disturbed by.
I'm disturbed by how much I'm attracted to the woman in the bear pit commercial. Now, the reason why I say that is because she's very pretty. She is very... There's a big area, and I think you know the one I'm talking about. The rest of her is also very thick, and I linger over that commercial, and it bothers me. The reason why it bothers me is because I'm Ted Bell, and it's a difficult thing for people to understand, and I hope the ladies out there are not offended by this.
No, not much, Ted.
Well,
I mean, come on, man. You're talking about, first of all, we were going to be talking about this TV commercial that we're doing for you. And you're all of a sudden talking about how attracted you are to a big girl in this bear pit. By the way, folks, is a barbecue place here in the Los Angeles area. They do a lot of commercials. It looks delicious, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, it does, and so does Ted's of Beverly Hills. Our place is delicious.
Yes, it is. You guys just aren't. You haven't done television before.
What do you mean I haven't done television?
You haven't done television commercials. In any event, this gal is a lovely brunette. And you know what she looks like to me is one of those big beautiful chicks that you know probably likes to eat barbecue right along with her man.
All right, so that's what I'm saying. That's not Ted Bell. And when we talk about Ted Bell, I'm not talking about myself like I think I'm something special. I'm talking about myself, Phil. You were using the term not me. You used the term not me. Brand. You know what a brand is?
Yes.
Okay. Ted Bell is a brand. My name is a brand, all right? So when I am seen in Beverly Hills, I'm in my restaurant, I'm either seen with Marcy, who's my wife, and she is a very beautiful girl. Marcy's, she's in her mid-40s now, so she's not, and I'm talking about the brand now. This is the brand. If you want to say this is the brand talking, okay. Marcy is not the, she's not the piece of tail that she used to be.
All right, there's a better way of saying that.
Is that right? What is it?
She's older, and I don't know that there is a better way of saying that, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, okay, thanks a lot. So,
but she's not the piece of tail she used to be is not the way to say it.
The point I'm making is I've got to be seen with younger, very lovely girls. That's why we have our hostesses. That's why we have our cocktail waitresses. And, of course, we do have the Ted girl, the once-a-month Ted girl, that we do a calendar with. And so forth. I can't be seen, enjoying a big woman. And
so don't do it.
I told you that I'm disturbed by the fact that I'm attracted to this big gal. And that has caused me most of the problems that we're having here with trying to get this television commercial done. Because I want to do it I find myself wanting to do it like the bear pit. And I keep pulling away from that.
All right, well, let's talk about that. I don't know. That sounds like a psychological problem, if you want my honest opinion.
Well, you know, look at Phil. Advertising is psychology.
No, I understand that, but let's talk about that. We'll talk a little bit more here with Ted Bell as we talk about a TV commercial that we're going to help produce for him, and that is going to be, you know, on television. You'll be seeing you, Ted?
What?
Will we be seeing you?
Yes, I'm going to be in the commercial.
Okay. 877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-7445, talking about... actually, what we're talking about is the bear pit or something.
Right, talk about the big lady.
Yeah, the big girl in that commercial. We'll be right back. 877-876-7445, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
You know,
the Phil Hendry Show.
I don't like fat women. Not bad. I like fat women.
Welcome back here, 877-876, The Phil Hendry Show. 876-PHIL.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse.
Table three, darling. Hey, everybody, it's a busy night here in Ted's of Beverly Hills, as it always is a busy night here in Ted's of Beverly Hills. Come on down, get some of our great garlic bread. Get some of that delicious barbecue chicken.
Here at Ted's.
Well, you know where, huh? And that's what I'm talking about right there. Did you hear what I just said?
What?
I was pushing the barbecue chicken. Ordinarily, I would never do that. I would be pushing our steaks. I'd be pushing our prime rib. But because of this fascination that I have with this gal and with this bear pit, and I know that I'm giving them a commercial here. Basically, I'm giving them a national commercial here talking about it.
Well, but that's not a bad thing. You're a restaurateur who has an admiration for another restaurant.
Well, but you see, that's just it. It's not that I really have an admiration for that restaurant. It's that I have an admiration for the spokesperson they use, which is that lady. Now, you know, I don't want anybody to misunderstand me, because there are a lot of women listening to your program, Phil. A lot of the men that love those women are listening to the program. I am not, a chauvinist pig or any of this kind of nonsense that you hear so much about, you know. I have a restaurant in Beverly Hills. I do try to surround myself in terms of my public appeal and my image and I'm not Hugh Hefner. I have a restaurant. But I do try to have beautiful blonde women who have, a certain kind of look and slender. When I originally saw the Bear Pit commercial, and I saw this gal, and I don't even know who she is. I don't know her name, but she's a brunette. She is a big girl. She's very pretty. She's got a big... this is where I have a hard time describing.
Okay. I mean, Rubenesque maybe is a good description.
She's bigger than Rubenesque. What I'm saying, and I want the ladies in the audience to understand this, I am very attracted to her, but I can't let anyone see that, because that's a bad... That basically turns what I'm trying to do at Ted's of Beverly Hills on its head. It's destructive. It's destructive.
It's destructive how? First of all, you're married.
Well, it's got nothing to do with me being married. Yes, I am married, and that's also a part of it, but I'm talking just in terms of the business. It's destructive for me to see a big butt, you know, with a big butt like that, and say, wow, I want that, when... That makes me look like just some guy slumming at the bear pit. I might as well walk into the bear pit after I got out of the cab of an 18-wheeler or something. I'm Ted Bell, and that's the thing that I'm trying to say. I'm Ted Bell. All right, Phil?
You know? Yes, you're Ted Bell. You're saying that in terms of the...
That is my calling card. I walk into any place in Beverly Hills, any place, I'm Ted Bell. I don't even have to present a card. I can just say I'm Ted Bell. And I'll tell you something right now, that's like I just said, jump, and they're all asking how high. Or I just said, dump, and they're asking more toilet paper. So,
That wasn't necessary at all.
I apologize, but you know, I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I understand the dilemma, but I'm trying to figure out what the... the question here. So you're having a personal...
Are you saying that I'm not being clear? I'm telling you, Phil, and I'm telling your audience that I can't... That this bear pit, this restaurant, is bad for my business. And I don't want to have to spell it out, but I've got to find a way for those people to shut their business down and move out of the area.
You can't, that's what I mean. You can't do that. Okay?
Why can't I do that?
Because you are attracted to a woman that you shouldn't be attracted to, not for anything other than the fact that it ruins your image with blondes.
Not my image with blondes. The Ted Bell brand. The Ted Bell label. And I want to go to the bear pit, the pit, and I want to sit down and I want to buy her a beer. Look at Ted Bell is the guy that's going to sit down and buy Jenna Elfman a martini. Ted Bell's the guy that's going to sit down and buy, you know, some of the great stars of the day. Jennifer Aniston and so forth. I don't know who they are. I haven't been to a movie in years. But the fact is, Ted Bell...
Well, you see a lot of them coming into the restaurant, right?
Yes. That's what I do. Now, the bear pit, with these endless commercials, has induced me to want to go to their restaurant and order some beer and buy one for her. You understand?
So is it changing your personality? Is it...
It's not. I don't know if it's changing my personality so much as it's just bringing something out of my personality that is destructive. So the answer is, close down that restaurant, move it to an area beyond the advertising radius of Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Now, that is completely unrealistic.
Why?
Well, I mean, I'm saying at first blush it sounds completely unrealistic.
I can have them... All I got to do is write them a letter and explain to them the impact they're having on my restaurant. You have to understand something, Phil. They are a barbecue place. I'm a steakhouse. So I'm going to do more money than them.
That's not necessarily true.
Why isn't it?
We charge
more. We have people with more money.
They probably do a higher volume.
Oh, they probably do a higher volume. That's what you sounded like when you just said that. They probably do a higher volume. Did you hear that?
Okay, so why are you mocking me?
I'm mocking you because how do you figure that? When did you all of a sudden become a restaurant aficionado?
Because they're coming in with families. And they're coming to barbecue places, you get a lot of families.
We get families. We don't get every, excuse me for saying this, but I'm not going to accommodate, you know, some of these people. They come in with 9 kids. I can't do that. But we've got normal 3 kid families. See, what you're doing here is you're forcing me to articulate some policies.
Originally what you said was, because you're attracted to this large woman in the bear pit commercial...
But the bottom line here is that they need to move out of the area.
All right, what is their inducement? What are you going to say to them?
I explained to them... I thought I already said this.
No, you didn't.
I explained to them that they are severely impacting my ability to do business... And that I would like them within a reasonable amount of time, 60 days, 90 days, to move the primary operation out. And
what if the financial but you're going to have to pay them.
No, I don't understand what you mean, pay them.
How can you tell a man to move his business?
You tell a man to move his business because his business is interfering with yours. Now, either they can do it that way, or I can have the county... or the city, and I can file papers saying that they are infringing on my business. That's how I do it.
There's nobody that's going to... it's not going to happen.
Whoa, all right. Let me know, Mr. Madlock, when you get time and to take another case, because I'd just love to talk to you. You're such a great lawyer.
I don't have to be a lawyer, Ted, to know that you're going to have to go to the county of L.A. or you're going to have to go to the Diamond Bar, whatever that restaurant is, and say they are hurting trade, restraining trade.
That's right.
Okay. To file some kind of a restraint of trade complaint, that's you're going to have to prove that they're doing it.
I can prove they're doing it. They put that woman on TV, and after years, I've got a brand called Ted Bell. You're not seeing this as a brand. My brand is being infringed upon, and you of all people, Phil, all the screaming you do about copyright and trademark...
Well, I don't understand that.
Oh, get out of here. Yes, you do understand it.
All right, we're going to come back with some phone calls, too. Ted Bell at Ted's of Beverly Hills. he's being infringed upon by this big-breasted woman on a TV commercial that he's attracted to, which ruins his reputation and image as a steakhouse guy who has slender blondes working with him. I don't know. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We will be right back.
You understand you're trying to be a pain in the ass about it.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. You understand perfectly.
Phil Hendry.
You want to see the pair? And it is going to be all Ted's of Beverly Hills, as I will fight this restaurant out there that has this big woman.
Yeah, you know, I don't know why you want to mention that.
Well, I beg your pardon?
I don't know why you mentioned that.
You know what, Phil? It's my commercial. I guess I'll do what I want to do.
No.
Yeah, my commercial?
Yeah, but I was...
My commercial, I'll do what I want to do. See, I don't... and I hate having to have these conversations with you like this. We're on the air.
Okay, tell me again, and we're going to take a couple of phone calls here. Tell me again why you want this to... why you want this restaurant, the Bear Pit, to move out of the area?
Because they're infringing on my brand. And
all right, and you mean...
What I mean by that is that the brand of Ted Bell is... you know, I'm Ted Bell. And I own a steakhouse, and I've got beautiful, blonde, slender girls working in the prime rib room. And as our hostesses, I don't have big, you know, big rear ends on them and anything. And they're not brunettes, and they're not these big rear-ended, big boob barbecue women. You know, I don't have, Phil, you got to understand something. I'm Ted Bell. I don't have a lot of girls working here with the big butt and the checkered shirt and a cowboy hat. That's not what goes. That's not Ted Bell. All right.
No, I know that's not Ted Bell, and yet you have been talking about that gal in that Bear Pit commercial. You said you're attracted to her.
Yes, but I'm trying to tell you that that's an infringement on my brand. The fact that I am attracted to her completely goes against what the public expects from me. The fact that I want to go there and eat there. Food, which I have no idea. I'm sure it's good, but I would prefer my own food. But I'll go there and eat their food just to meet her. That's also against the Ted Bell brand. The fact that I will go there, even if it means I've got to put on a greasy shirt and look like someone that lives out in Diamond Bar and go in.
Let's not insult people, okay?
Well, I'm trying to make the point that you wanted me to make. The fact that I want to go there, climbing out of the cab of a 10-wheeler and walk in and buy her a beer is an infringement of my trademark. So all of that...
Yeah, but all of those things that you just said...
Can I finish what I'm saying?
Go ahead.
All of that is an infringement on the Ted Bell trademark, and therefore it must go. Get it out of my town, get it out of here, and I will go to the... If I've got to go to the ICC, I'll do that. If I got to go to the Interstate Commerce Commission... And
well, that's not an interstate issue, Ted, but...
Again, thank you, Andy Griffith. Thank you, Madlock. And
can we talk about legal... I don't have to be an attorney. I know what the Department of Commerce does and what the ICC does. This is not an interstate issue.
I think it's a federal issue, and my attorneys will make that argument.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. So this is an infringement of trademark, the fact that you're attracted to this big gal.
You know, you're trying to make this, you're really trying to spin it so it's my fault, right?
Well, Ted, you're the guy that...
Did I decide? You're saying that I think I'm going to decide to get... I'm going to say, do you get an erection?
Will you please? We're on the air.
Well, you're forcing me to say these things.
No, I'm not. I'm telling you...
That was involuntary.
All right, that may have been involuntary, but the fact is, you want to go out and buy her a beer. That's a decision that you make.
No, it is not. No, I'm trying to make a point, and I realize it's groundbreaking, But I'm trying to make the point that I have no control over the fact that I want a big, fat woman.
All right.
Hold on for a minute, okay? You got me.
Well, Ted, I didn't mean to upset you.
Yeah, well, you know, to say those words... Get away from me.
Yeah, but what?
Get away from me. I'm sorry, Bill.
Well, Ted, I don't want to upset you.
No, not much. Do you understand that I'm Ted Bell and I want it from a fat, from the barbecue gal?
Okay, and that's whose fault?
Again, I'm going to ask you, and you tell me if I'm wrong. Who makes the decision when a guy gets a top tent?
I didn't hear that.
Who makes the decision when you get a pup tent?
Will you knock it off, please?
Oh, my God, you told me to say it.
No, but I didn't know what you were going to say. And let's grow up. And let's grow up, okay? Are you in the kitchen?
Yeah, I'm in the kitchen. I'm not going to talk this way in front of my customers.
Oh, but you'll talk that way on the air.
You know what, Phil? You really got to lighten up. I don't know how to say it. I wish there was a different way.
Let's go to Vernon. Hi, Vernon. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm listening to this guy, and I got to tell you, this is about as funny a thing as I've ever heard in my life.
You think it's funny, huh?
Yes, I do, sir, and let me tell you why I think it's funny. As Mr. Henry so very clearly said, and I know the restaurant you're talking about, and I have eaten there many times, and the food is delicious. The girls that they hire as waitresses in barbecue places are going to have those big butts because that makes it look like they eat the food there.
In other words, the big rear end on him is going to make me want to do what? Eat. The only thing it made me do is want to eat dessert.
Well, it made you want to eat dessert. What?
Well, Mr. Henry's going to get upset. And
if it's dirty, if it's foul, if it's not for a family, no, I don't want to hear it.
Well, the gentleman is asking a question here, Phil. He said that, big-butted waitresses make you want to eat more. And I said it made me want to eat dessert out of... what we're talking about.
Oh, I think I know what he means.
I don't have any idea.
He wants to put dessert on a woman's butt and...
Yeah. Well, you are asking me a question.
So all of this has to do with your restaurant, how?
Well, hold on. I called in.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you mind letting the guy say something?
I appreciate that. Let me just say this. Mr. Bell, I got to agree with Mr. Henry here to this extent. I think you are blaming that restaurant. And you are actually the restraint of trade that's being counseled here. You want to restrain their trade simply because they had a waitress, as you said, that, you know, you...
I sprung one.
Yeah, you sprung it. And
okay, guys, forget about all of that. You got a rouse buyer is good enough.
All right.
I don't think that's adequate description.
Well, I do, and it's my show.
I mean, you got aroused by this big gal. And I know what you mean. I've eaten there, and they have women. If you think, have you eaten over there?
No, I haven't. I want to.
All right. Well, I can tell you this. If you think she's hot, they got a restaurant loaded with them. That's what serves you the drinks. That's what serves you your food.
That woman?
They got women look like her. And
that, to me, again, Phil, and I have to point this out, that makes me want to go there now. I want to just leave this restaurant and I want to leave this restaurant behind and go there and just drink beer after beer after beer, waiting for her to get off, off of her shift, which I know she's probably not even there.
So you have, you've got a real problem. But all I'm trying to say here, Phil, is I agree with you
Well, you agree with me that this guy's got no right to shut their restaurant down. But what I'm hearing here now is almost like a psychological a psychological problem.
Go again. If he's not Madlock, he's Dr. Kildare or whoever. He's Dr. Slidinger or whatever that woman's name was.
Laura Schlesinger.
Yeah. Is that what you are now, Phil? Because...
Again, it's a free country and I can comment.
Well, you can comment all you want. And you can say this and that and something else. You've been Madlock, you've been Dr. Laura... Glasslinger.
Schlesinger.
All right. And when are you going to be George Washington? You got that in your bag of tricks? Or Napoleon? You put on the hat and put the hand in the jacket, and that's when they come with a butterfly net, okay?
The only people that are coming with a butterfly net are for you, Ted.
And why? How do you figure that?
Oh, come on, man. You're talking about having a restaurant shut down, go to the Interstate Commerce Commission because they're infringing on your trademark. And what's your trademark? Ted Bell, and he's getting aroused by a big fat lady in a commercial. And
well, you know, and it's affected the commercial that we want to do because I sent you over the storyboard that I want to do.
I know. You want to do a commercial just like the Bear Pit.
Yes.
What's wrong with that?
I got a steakhouse here in Beverly Hills. I don't have a barbecue place with a fat girl.
Don't yell at me.
I'm sorry, Phil, but...
Don't ever do that.
I got a steakhouse in Beverly Hills. Is that better?
Yes.
I don't have some barbecue dump. Excuse me for saying that.
Let's take another phone call here.
Oh, yeah. Let's take another phone call. Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, is there something that you more you want to say?
No. Yeah.
877-877-876-PHIL.
877-876-PHIL. How's that feel, Phil?
Oh, well, I can hang up on you.
Well, I can hang up on you.
Okay, hang up on him.
Okay, hang up.
But you want me to get him back on?
Only if he's going to behave like a human being, all right? And that's his tough luck if he got aroused by the fat lady in the Bear Pit, and she's not fat, you know, the big girl in the Bear Pit commercial, and he wants a woman with a big butt, and all of that is fine and dandy. There's only one problem. He hasn't articulated to me how he's legally going to make this case and how he's going to get their restaurant shut down. So far, what he's been doing is a 45-minute commercial for the Bear Pit. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget, we're online at philhendryshow.com. Episode 17 of the world-famous free Phil Hendry podcast is up and running right now. Just hit the podcast banner on our homepage and download episode 17, Monday, episode 18. And I don't think there is a part three of our pervert trilogy, although maybe. We'll be back here with more from Ted Bell on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. On the line with me is Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we're talking about Ted's of Beverly Hills and the Bear Pit and the new commercial that Ted is having produced. Let's get on out to Ted's of Beverly Hills, where Ted is.
Ted's of Beverly Hills, steakhouse.
I don't know.
Come on.
Hey, everybody, this is Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Hey, listen, we've got the greatest steaks, the juiciest Kansas City steaks. We've got them all. Big, thick filet mignon, longhorns, 42-ounce porterhouse. I'm talking about the Bear Pit only because, you know, we don't want them to begin to ruin our brand. And I know that, you know, a lot of what we're talking about is,
Well, I told you it was going to be tough for people to understand.
Yeah, I know, but one of the problems here, Phil, and again, I have to, you know, again, I've got to blame you because, and I don't like doing that, but if you just would have let me just say, I couldn't get the words out of my mouth of what the way, of the words that I want to say.
And I got to move the show along.
Yeah, well, you move the show along to the point where I stumbled over myself. The point that I'm making here is this. The Ted's of Beverly Hills brand has been damaged by the big... The large breasts on the woman, and just the big...
This woman that you're attracted to.
Well, you didn't want me to say that.
I didn't... I don't mind just... Where are you, man? I can't... You know, it's driving me nuts with all of that noise and stuff.
I'm in the prime rib room. Turn the TV down. Hey, Oscar, turn the TV down.
And that's something.
I don't care if they got a ball game. What is it?
Poker.
Who is it? The Kevin Pollak?
Yeah, World Series of Poker.
Oh, they got the World Series of Poker on.
We're on the air. Do you mind?
Wow. Okay. Turn it out. Turn it off.
I did.
You turned it off before I told you to turn it off, though. I got a problem, Phil. Hold on.
Hey. Hold.
No, just a second. Why did you turn that off before I told you to turn it off? Don't ever do that. All right, I'm back. Okay. Don't have a panic, Phil.
All right. 877-876-7445. So what we were talking about is your brand is being damaged. This is no fault of yours.
I told you, how do you, you keep walking into it. I told you, I can't control springing a pop.
Again, I carry, if you're saying something dirty.
I'm not. I said I can't control if I'm going to spring the tent. Oh, listen to this. Oh, God.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Grow up, Ted, okay? Grow up. If your son or your wife are listening right now, they would be shocked. You know what, man? I really, when I get off the air, I'm going to come over for a drink. And I'm going to kick your ass in the parking lot in front of everybody.
Is that right?
That's right.
You just threatened me.
Yeah, well, no, I didn't. I'm not serious.
No, you threatened me.
I'm not serious. I just wanted you to get pissed so you'd stop going, eh. 877-876-7445. Let's go to Karen. Hi, Karen. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
Oh, Phil, I am having such a good time this evening. Mr. Bell, how are you, sir?
Very good, thank you.
Phil, I called you last night, and I get such a kick out of you. We really do. And I want to thank you for your show.
Thank you, dear. Have you got a comment for Ted?
Do you want to talk to me?
I do. I want to talk to Ted. But I don't want to let a moment pass without letting you know, Phil. We had such a good time with you. Okay, Mr. Bell.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Bell, my name is Karen Deauville, and I live in Indianapolis, Indiana. But we're coming to California because my husband and I take a vacation every summer. We're coming out with our niece, and her name is Doreen. And I have to tell you, Phil, and I want to say one other thing. Can we come to see your show? Do you do that?
I really don't. I don't, but...
Oh, you know, Herb is going to be disappointed. But Ted...
Yes, ma'am. Ma'am, I'm Ted Bell, and this is my segment, and you talking to Mr. Hendry about his show. You can do that.
Oh, all right. Okay. I understand. Now... Doreen's going to come with us. We always come to California. We always stay in Beverly Hills. We love the Beverly Wilshire. Okay?
Yes. Beautiful hotel.
We stay there. We get a suite. Now, Doreen is... And you know what we used to say, Phil? We used to... When I was a girl, we'd say big bone. You know what that is?
Big bone... No. Please don't say big bone, because that means that she's got a wide, bony, you know...
Oh, I know. I got the bottom, the big bottom, but it's flat.
Yeah.
Okay, no, that's not what my... Doreen is a big gal, and she's got what her father, my brother, calls the big... what does he say about the...
Called the big melons?
The big melons.
Okay, let's, you know...
I'm sorry. Okay. I know. I'm stepping over my bounds. My husband, he's like waving his finger. I'll be off in a minute, Herb. My husband's waving his finger. Don't you do that.
You know, I know what you mean, so tell me a little bit more.
Yes. So, would you like to meet her? Because she's very pretty. I'd be happy to send you a picture of her.
Well, first of all, let me just say something to you, Karen. Very nice of you. I'm Ted Bell.
No. I know that, and I don't want to run afoul of the... Is it your... It's your copyright. Right?
Well, it's my trademark, yeah. But if you've got me on the air admitting that I want to meet the big butt on your niece from Indiana, man, that just drives my image right into the sewer. Oh God,
I don't want to do that. Did I do something wrong, Phil?
No.
No, I don't. Gosh, I don't. Because I've been listening to you and Herb, my husband. He's been listening. Mr. Bell, we're in your corner. We are, and you know why? Because anything that Phil... We love Phil, and we love you.
No, I get that. I understand that.
When, if Phil has anyone on his show, we love.
No, I understand that. The obsequiousness is starting to... I can taste a little vomit. I'm just tasting some spit up.
And, well, I don't know what that is, but I just want to let Phil know we love you, Phil, as usual. We're not going anywhere. You have two committed fans here.
I'm very, very grateful to hear that, Karen. Thank you.
Okay. And her name is Doreen. And her, you know, her father said she's got the, you know, the big ones.
Yeah, no, I heard that. Mr. Hendry won't. Yeah.
Why is everybody whispering tonight?
Well, I don't, you know, Phil, I called your show last night, and I was whispering a little bit because I was talking about, I forget what it was, but I'm talking to Ted now about, do you want me to speak up?
Yes, would you speak up and just say what it is you're trying to say?
All right. Ted, my niece Doreen.
Yeah, I know about your niece Doreen, and she's got the Henry.
She's got the big one, the big boobs.
Well, I'm sorry?
She has the, my daughter, she's got big boobs. Oh, Herb, shut up.
Yeah, say it on the radio.
I just, okay.
Yeah?
And she's got a lot, she's got the big, what is it that with Mr. Henry, you say it all the time, and I love it. Oh, she's got a big backyard.
Oh, the big backyard.
Yes. A lot of junk. What is it, Herb?
A lot of junk in her trunk.
A lot of junk in her trunk.
Okay, let's grow up here.
Oh, Phil, I'm sorry. Phil, I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's all right. It's.
So she's got it going on, huh?
No, Phil, I am so sorry, honey. Okay, yes, she does. Yes, she does. And she's single. She just got rid of her husband. And,
The kids?
Kids. I don't want to talk. Well, a little coffee in your milk.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay. Thank you very much.
No, I'm sorry. We love you. Ted.
Yeah.
We're going to come to your restaurant.
Yeah, okay. Bring your niece. And, but please, the kid.
Well, but he's a beautiful, but he's mixed race. He's mixed race.
Yeah. Got a little bit of coffee in the milk.
I know Herb. I already told. He's mixed race. Phil, we love you.
Thank you very much. Got to get going, okay?
All right, Phil, goodbye. You have two committed fans here in Indianapolis.
Wow. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Henry, I blame you for that.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Because he's more of an entertainer, and he's a happy, rich man.
It's like the thing. I'm not the only one that does it.
I figured if I'm going to be a journalist.
It contains valerian root extract.
Well, I hope you knew to use a condom.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they shan't. They can't. They won't. Truth is our bitch here every night. 818. What is our number, man? I got two different numbers. It's blowing my mind.
Yeah, people take a drinking game.
Remind me to talk about the drinking game now, the new Phil Hendry drinking game. 877-876-PHIL. I don't think it's a new drink. It's one guy on Twitter. Carrie Campbell gives her 8-year-old Botox to compete in a beauty pageant, and now she loses custody of the kid. And joining us to talk about that this hour is Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Parent Teacher Organization. The woman gave her daughter Botox, that is, injecting Botox into this child's face. And we're going to be talking with Bobby Dooley about this momentarily here on the show. 877-876-7445. If you don't have a backstage pass to the Phil Hendry Show website, then you're just letting the best part of the day pass you by, brother, because what we have is not only the largest archive of any radio show anywhere, it happens to be an archive of our show, probably one of the single greatest radio shows in the history of man on this planet. So in other words, you get like 13, 14 years of archive material. You get the daily podcast of our show. You get our classic podcasts, which are free, by the way. You get our news feed, our news blog. You get our comments section. You get all kinds of archived video. We have our 5-day video archive. We have daily streaming video casts of the show, Phil TV, in high definition on your computer screen. And you can stream us mobile, too, either with your iPhone or your Droid. I mean, there just isn't any reason not to get a backstage pass to PhilHendryShow.com. You know, you never know when you're going to lose the good things in life, so you better hurry up and get a hold of it now. It's PhilHendryShow.com. Botox mom loses custody of 8-year-old daughter. That is the story here. A San Francisco mother has lost custody of her 8-year-old daughter after she injected the girl with Botox in preparation for beauty pageants that this child was going to be in. She was trying to treat wrinkles on an 8-year-old child. A person with knowledge of the situation, as they say in the news business, which generally means some former friend, told ABC News that the girl, Brittany, is doing well, but did not offer more detail on the ongoing investigation into the girl's mother, Carrie Campbell. In an interview on ABC News with Laura Logan, Carrie Campbell defends giving Botox to her 8-year-old because everyone else is doing it in the beauty pageant world.
It's pretty much like the thing. I'm not the only one that does it. A lot of moms do it. And I think a lot of the kids making the big impression on the lines on her face and stuff like made her, probably influenced her to want to do it a little bit more.
You're saying Brittany asked you for Botox?
We talked about it. She didn't exactly ask me about it, but I know that she was complaining about her face, having wrinkles and things like that.
Carrie Campbell says she personally injects her daughter with a Botox she acquires from a trusted source.
Like I said, I do the Botox myself. It's safe. I have no problem with doing it.
But you're 34. I mean, it's just, I'm just wondering.
I've been doing it for a long time.
You administer it because you're an esthetician.
Part-time.
Where do you get the Botox?
I'd rather not. Like, put that out there.
God,
I do have a trusted source where I get it. He is behind the doctor scene and everything.
Uh-huh. This woman's not very bright because the things she's saying there are highly suspect and she doesn't even know it. Well, I'm not going to tell you because 8-year-old Brittany talks about the procedure. Here's the little girl talking about it.
I do it, but it hurts sometimes, but
oh, God.
I used to it.
A little bit of
it. And what do you do it for?
I don't know.
Well, do you do it because you see wrinkles? Or?
Oh, yeah. I see, like, wrinkles, and it just, like, I just, like, don't, like, think wrinkles are nice for a little girl. It hurts.
Oh, God.
And I get used to it, and...
Do you cry?
A little.
Bobby Dooley is from the Western Estates Parent Teacher Organization. What do you think of this?
Well, so, you know, get the guys to turn the TV down a bit. What I think of it, Phil, and your reaction, I think we need to talk about this a little bit, because I don't think that people listening to your broadcast right now are going to understand what this really is about and the challenges that women and these children go through. We are crying out for all of these victims that we have been saddled. And when I say we, Phil, I don't have a daughter, but I've got a niece, and my sister is very much involved in trying to correct a lot of these mistakes.
Well, what do you mean by correct these mistakes?
Well, the question here really is not, should we be using Botox or not? The question is, when you're a mother and you look at your daughter, what are you dealing with? What do you have to work on? Where do you begin in shaping this child into a young lady? There are some of us, and I underline some of us. I don't know why I didn't have daughters. I am, you know, fortunate in that I've got three spectacular-looking sons. I mean, any one of my sons could be a model. My sister, my niece, got a lot more of my mother's looks, I think, than either my sister or I did. And as a result, my niece is a young lady that we are challenged by. And that's when you begin to think of these solutions to what is a genetic challenge. I married a very handsome man. My sister did as well. But, of course...
Now, hold on. What do you mean by a genetic challenge? Do you have sympathy? I want to get this out clear and straight. Do you have sympathy for this woman that we just heard?
I do have sympathy for her, but not in the way that you're thinking. I think you have to understand something, Phil. I think we've heard one side of this. We need to hear the other side. I have sympathy for all of the victims of the genetic challenges that have... visited themselves upon people for many, many years. The little girl, her mother, this is all part of a tragedy that goes back, my God, thousands, millions of years.
And what tragedy is that? The fact that we're not good-looking?
The fact, Phil, that the fact that we are genetically challenged from generation to generation, and yes, we have to do something about it, otherwise... We live with the frustration of a destroyed relationship with a father who might have been there a little bit more for us.
Well, I don't know what you're getting. What you're getting into some stuff here now that is a little esoteric.
No, I'm talking to you about the Botox. That's what you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, Senator, I told her about it.
Yes, I want to talk about the Botox. What are you talking about, a relationship with a father?
I am talking about a mother. This woman, Carrie Campbell. Is that the woman she... Did he want me to...
No.
Yeah, Ms. Dooley, you can talk to me.
I'm trying to find out for my husband. Isn't that why you... Is that why you called?
Yes, ma'am. We want to talk to you about the Botox story. The woman who has... She has now lost custody. What do you think of that?
I think it is a tragedy.
You don't think she should have lost custody?
No, I do not. I'm taken aback. I thought you and your staff there understood what we are challenged by, what we're up against. And
when you say we, are you talking about mothers like Carrie Campbell?
I identify with all mothers that are trying to tackle, courageously tackle, and do something about these genetic challenges, yes. And my understanding was I was coming on a radio program that supported that. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Ms. Dooley, I have to be completely honest with you. No, I don't support the injection of Botox into an 8-year-old child's body, no matter what the reason, unless it is a curative, unless it's medically required, unless it is a pediatric doctor that has assessed a problem. But for cosmetic reasons?
Then he doesn't understand.
No, I thought he doesn't understand.
All right. Let me start at the beginning with you then, Phil.
All right. Well, you could start at the beginning, but I think I do understand.
No, you don't understand why we do this. We have been victimized by the genetic challenge of having a daughter that looks nothing like either ourselves or our husbands. In that case, when you put a child like that into a pageant, and you are really looking at a challenge now, because you've got you have a child that is not what we would call attractive. You have a very plain-looking child. You begin to think of options, and the first option, of course, if you've got a child that has that what we call that crone, you know, that sort of premature. What did you call that?
Sluggo's Crohn disease.
Steve calls it Sluggo's Crohn.
What is that?
That is a child with an aging face. And so that's when you need the Botox.
Yes, but why would you... I'm not connecting with you. Why would you put Botox into a child's face? Sluggo's Crohn, that just threw me for a loop. Why would you put Botox into a child's face... Even if the child has wrinkles?
Because of the genetic challenge that child's face represents. If the child is not dealt with in terms...
Because the child is not good looking.
Because the child is not pageant worthy. And if the child is not pageant worthy, then you're not winning any pageants, Phil. And the problems and the mistakes and really the pain of the past that you're trying to deal with never gets dealt with.
And what pain of the past is that?
The pain of the past...
Mr. Ritter, if you don't understand, my wife...
I thought he explained all of this.
No, nobody explained anything to me, Ms. Dooley. I'm not here. I don't know why you do what you do.
When you're a young lady and you are rejected by your father, as I was by my father, as my sister was by our father, then you look to make it up to him. How do you do that? You do it with your own daughter. And you do it by getting her to win a beauty pageant. The beauty pageant that I never won. Do you understand?
Are you trying to...
Do you understand? Because that's... If you don't
understand... I understand the psychological dynamic you're talking about.
No, but do you understand, therefore, the necessity for a Botox injection into a child's face that... isn't good. The face isn't making it. It could be Sluggo Crohn. It could be just plain view. But the face ain't getting it. And so you have to do something.
You don't have to do anything. You cannot put that child in a beauty pageant. But you're saying by not putting the child in a beauty pageant and...
Mr. Henry, I am watching your video cast. I don't like you pointing your finger.
I apologize, although I'm just pointing it in the air.
It looks as if you're pointing it at me.
I apologize. But what you're saying is you need to put this child into a beauty pageant because the child needs to win a beauty pageant because you never won a beauty pageant. And because you never won a beauty pageant, your father rejected you.
That is the psychological dynamic, yes. And so in order to heal that, we must address the face and the beauty form of the child. And if your daughter has a face that ain't getting it... And
what does it mean, ain't getting it? What is that?
It ain't making it.
Okay.
Then you do have to go to these solutions.
All right, 877-876-7445, Bobby Dooley, Steve Dooley, on why Botox at beauty pageants for eight-year-old children may be necessary, because that child needs to be competitive and even win in that beauty pageant in order for the mother to realize some psychological healing having to do with her youth. Nonetheless, Ms. Dooley is with us talking about the fact that some children are saddled with what she calls the genetic problem or the genetic challenge of not having the most beautiful face in the world. So you do need to inject Botox. Otherwise, Mr. Dooley said whatever that...
He said ain't making it. He misspoke.
Her face ain't making it.
Right.
877-876-7445. Well, I don't even know. I can't even imagine any woman that puts a child into a beauty pageant that would agree with what she just said. 877-876-7445. Bobby Dooley, Steve Dooley, Botox injections for eight-year-olds is necessary. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
You know, I just noticed our Phil TV in HD, we have a camera angle that sort of shoots the our studio from the side, but I always seem to have there our coffee, Bud, from Starbucks.
Yeah, that's the green.
And the green sleeve always is being blasted out by the green screen, but today we have just regular sleeves on our Starbucks coffee. So in any event, it's no big deal. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley joining us. Pardon me, guys, for making light a little bit here, because what we're talking about, I think, is deadly serious. And Ms. Dooley, I want to give you every opportunity here. Obviously, I don't agree with you to say that 8-year-old children being injected with Botox is somehow the addressing of a genetic challenge that is necessary for the healing of an adult. And that's the part that, more than anything else, I don't get.
It is a cyclical thing.
Mr. Henry, it goes generation to generation.
Now, Mr. Dooley, I'd like to speak to your wife, please, just, you know, one-on-one, because I can barely hear you.
Still, it is a cyclical thing, and as Steve did say, it is generation to generation. If you marry a handsome man, if you marry into what you felt were good genes, and your daughter is born, and you've got work to do. You've got work to do.
Yeah, her face is not making it.
That's the line that I don't like. Her face ain't making it.
We're speaking in terms of a beauty pageant. And
well, I don't know what kind of language that is, but to put Botox into that child's face that, quote, ain't making it, is to don't you think that that's exposing that child to a medical procedure that's best left, first of all, to a doctor, and secondly, until they're 18? 877-876-7445. David in Fresno, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I just wanted to say that my wife and I have had the special privilege of raising five daughters, aging from 29 to 13. None of them have ever won a beauty contest, but all of them are beautiful in our point of view. Would never think of harming any of them sticking something in their face like that. I just want to say, dear, I think we need to send a straitjacket after you and your husband, and that's all I got to say about it. That you're totally ridiculous. Bye.
Well, oh, okay. Well, I'll comment. I guess he doesn't have the courage to talk to a woman, does he?
No, I think the gentleman has got five daughters, and that's all he wanted to say.
Well, I think that that is the attitude, Phil, of a man who has five daughters that probably, and I say this with a great deal of respect.
Well, don't start knocking the man's daughter's looks. What are you going to say? They couldn't make it in a beauty pageant?
Well, I think that that stands to reason. I think that's why he said what he said. Because out of five for five
is not good, because they're not making it.
5 for 5 in any in the beauty pageant world is a disaster. It is a disaster.
And what does 5 for 5 mean?
It means you have five daughters and not a one of them.
Not one of them going to get up to that level.
Well, this lady is got one daughter, and she's having to put Botox into that child's face. 877-876-7445. Dan, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
You know, I think this is just child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you're putting your kids through things that they should never go through
mm-hmm.
for no
mm-hmm.
reason, so that you can feel better about yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's my point.
Absolutely.
Well, what do you mean that's your point?
My point was that you're putting the child through this so that she can win a beauty pageant, so that you can feel better about some rejection that your father, that you experienced at the hands of your father.
We are trying to break the cycle, Phil. If I can get my child, my niece, not my daughter, if I can get her face to the point where it is pageant, it's at the pageant level, she wins.
She doesn't experience the rejection. Does that make you love her less? If your daughter does not win a pageant, does that make you love her less?
It makes her father. It gives an issue with the father. That's what I'm talking about.
You just heard that man say, not this gentleman, the other gentleman, five daughters.
Well, that's all very courageous of him to say on a talk radio program. I would love to see in action whether those daughters get their father's love or whether he's rejected them all.
For not being pageant quality.
Hold on. You hold the line, sir. Hold on in Akron, and we'll be right back here. 877-876-7445. Pageant quality.
That was 5 for 5.
All right, we'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show. These stories, I think they probably grab most people the way they grab me and you. When we hear of these beauty pageants for children, probably this stuff became so distasteful following the JonBenet Ramsey tragedy.
You know, I want to comment on that, Phil, because I think we have been given such a bad name because of the JonBenet Ramsey situation.
Well, Ms. Dooley, I'm, just talking to my audience here. Just regular folks, I don't know anything about this world of pageants. I don't particularly like what I see. I'm not, running around asking for laws to ban it. I'm not that kind of an activist jackass. But I will tell you, when it comes to children, I think we all should be a little bit more vigilant. The sacrosanct world of parents, it's very, very important. You know, we are radio for patriots by patriots, but when you're sticking needles into a kid's face, and for the reasons that you give...
We talk about genetic challenge. We talk about generational mutation. We talk about the love of the father. We talk about whether the face makes it or not. Is it pageant face? We talk about Village of the Damned Eyes. We talk about these things because we are trying to educate people. And
now, you're talking about Village of the Damned Eyes. Tell me, you have a list here. We've got Dan, who's been hanging on, and I want to get Dan back up on the line. He hung on through the break. Dan, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I want to ask Bobby here. Now, you have a list of things that, and I think this is pretty outrageous.
Well, Phil, if you're going to gang up on me with the caller...
I just want you to give this list of things that you find this is not optimum in the child pageant world. You mentioned Brooke Shields' hair.
It's too thick. You can't have chin dimple.
Chin dimple. The chin dimple is bad.
Yes, it is. In the world of the pageant, yes, it is. For children, yes, it looks masculine. The clown cheeks.
What are clown cheeks?
When these are children. A child has too much color in the cheek, not from makeup, but just natural color. It's good to know the child is healthy. Yes,
these
I understand
kids.
They're children. I know that better than you, sir.
If you're going to have a
I have three sons.
For kids, it should be childlike.
You look like, I have no idea what your wife looks like if you're married. I don't know what your child looks like. So I don't think you've ever had to suffer the way I have. I'm a woman. My father rejected me. I didn't win beauty pageants.
Well, you know what?
See, this is all about you and your father rejecting you, and
exactly.
You didn't win beauty pageants. So now you got to get your daughter, or your niece in this case, into a beauty pageant.
Yes, and if she wins, she does not run the risk that I ran and that my sister ran. She keeps the love of her father, and we break the cycle.
Maybe somebody ought to have a talk with that father. Maybe somebody ought to have a talk with your father.
That would be nice, Phil. He's been dead 5 years.
What an ass.
I did not know your father was dead.
Well, now you do.
Now you do, Mr. Henry.
He died of a heart attack in a parking garage. There wasn't anyone there.
I apologize, Ms. Dooley. I truly do. I truly do. I'm sorry. I did not know.
He died of a heart attack in a...
Fell in a parking garage, Mr. Henry. His body was there all night.
All right, I'm sorry. I didn't know.
I never could win a beauty pageant.
Ms. Dooley, are you hearing yourself, though? Are you...
Excuse me, you heard what I said about my father.
I heard what you said about your father dying of a heart attack. I am very, very sorry. I'm sorry that he died in such a terrible way, in a lonely, lonely way. I mean, the man was in a parking garage. I understand that. How old was he?
My father was 75.
75. I mean, that's, you know, these days, that's young.
Oh, yeah, right.
Now, don't make small talk, Mr. Henry.
These days, well, at least the nice weather we're having, isn't it?
Ms. Dooley,
No, you're making, these days. Yep.
Yeah. What are we, on the farm? Yep.
Yeah, it's like you're talking on the farm. Yep, these days, you don't just die those days. That, forget it.
You know, I'm having a hard time believing you give a damn about your niece when you're screaming about your father and the way that he died in a parking garage at the age of 75 and you didn't get his love. That's what it's about. It's about you. It's about your sister. It's about all these grown-up women that have their daughters in these beauty pageants because they didn't get the love of their fathers and they want their daughters to win beauty pageants so that somehow they're vindicated. Isn't that true?
Mr. Henry, I am not...
Isn't that true?
I'm not on trial.
Mr. Henry, these are things that are very personal.
Well, then Ms. Dooley's the one that brought it up, not me. 877-876-7445. Here is Craig in Mississippi. Craig, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I just can't understand why can't they love their children for who they are.
I do love my niece very much. I love my son very much.
But you're not accepting them for who they are, for their appearance. Are you considering the scarring that will happen to them because of all this Botox and makeup you're doing on them? What that does
well,
to them?
That's not going to scar them. The Botox will make their faces, it evens their faces out, it levels them out.
They have
we're
a talking, symmetrical.
We're talking emotionally. We're talking emotionally.
Right.
Not physically, emotionally, because you're not accepting them for who they are. I have two daughters, and they are the most beautiful girls in the whole wide world. And you know what? They don't have to go win a pageant for me to know that. They're beautiful because they are mine.
In other words, they're not that good looking. The way you said that. Just the way you said that.
My mother is gorgeous to me.
You said that to you, that means they really aren't.
Because you know
it
what?
Doesn't
it
make
doesn't
it,
matter
what difference
think.
Does it make?
It doesn't
no,
matter
I'm
what
just
you
saying.
Think, ma'am.
Isn't that what you're saying?
My mother's beautiful. My daughters are beautiful. And there's no contest in my mind. In my
How about
heart.
Margaret Thatcher? How about Margaret Thatcher?
What about Margaret Thatcher?
Where did she come from?
I want to know what your level of beauty is. What is your standard?
He loves his daughters because his daughters are beautiful to him because he loves them. The eyes of
exactly.
love.
Exactly. In other words, they don't have pageant faith.
Yeah, are they symmetrical? No, what?
That is so superficial that your love is based upon an appearance.
No, my love, you don't understand. I love my niece. We're talking about winning a pageant. Do you understand?
If you
my
love
niece
them,
is genetically challenged.
Don't touch
yeah.
them. If you love if them, put them up and say, this is my child, this is my niece.
She's
who
got
I'm
butt
proud
chin.
Of.
She, you don't get butt chin, do you?
Yeah, the butt chin, sir, is...
Butt chin is what? The dimple in the chin?
Yeah. There's no way you're going to win a pageant with a... You know, excuse me for making a joke out of it, but there's no way you win a pageant if you've got a chin like an ass.
Right.
Okay, and so she doesn't win the pageant, and therefore your sister, the mother of that child, doesn't get... She doesn't feel vindicated, and so she still has unresolved feelings about your father... The two of you and the grandfather of this little girl. And the little girl couldn't give a hoot and a holler.
She still has, we still have Steve's, we have my mother and Steve's parents.
Well, no, but I'm talking about the relationship that you and your sister never had with your father.
Right.
And thank you for belching.
I'm sorry, Phil. I had the TGIF fajitas.
The adults... are the ones that need help mm-hmm. in this family, not the child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is not a slam.
Mm-hmm.
This is not an insult. Mm-hmm. But
no kidding.
Jews and mm-hmm. the adults need the help, not the child.
Jews? You just said Jews.
The child, I'm sure, is beautiful if you'll just accept her.
She's beautiful,
you're compounding
she's
and making...
Now, I'm trying to tell you she's beautiful, but she is off.
Her face ain't making it.
You know, when you say that about a little girl's face, man, somebody ought to smack your face, Mr. Dooley. I'm sorry. A little girl is a pretty little princess, and that's it, you know?
Exactly.
You're going to smack my face?
I would punch your lights out, man, if you said that in front of me. I've had about enough of all I can take of listening to you people talking about children as if they got faces made of Play-Doh, and you can push a chin in here and pull a face out there and do whatever you want to do with a child's face so that you feel better, so that you win she wins the pageant, so your relationship with your father is vindicated. Bizarre. Thank you for your call, sir. 877-876-7445. Let's go over here now to Christine. Hi, Christine. You're on a Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Nice speech.
I'm good, thank you. I wasn't given a
Yay.
Speech.
No, that was a speech.
No, it was not a speech. It was my honest feeling.
Good speech, Mr. Edric.
Well, if I may inject here,
mm-hmm.
I don't think
mm-hmm.
you're really breaking the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
I think
mm-hmm.
you're continuing this cycle by
mm-hmm.
not
mm-hmm.
accepting the child
mm-hmm.
and let her be who she
mm-hmm.
is and look what way she
mm-hmm.
she does and love
mm-hmm.
her anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing
mm-hmm.
is that these
mm-hmm.
issues are more about y'all
mm-hmm.
issues
mm-hmm.
rather than the child, like Phil said.
What do you mean, y'all?
You know, it's...
I didn't hear...
Hold on. Will you let the lady finish?
She said y'all. I don't know what you mean, y'all.
Your issues, you and your husband and your sister.
Oh.
Y'all are the ones with the issue that needs to be resolved. That's the
mm-hmm.
only way you'll break the cycle. You're not going to
mm-hmm.
break the cycle like this.
You're
this is
break
not
the, cycle.
The way to break the cycle.
Look, it's a genetic...
This is all
being,
superficial. You've like put a Band-Aid on
mm-hmm.
it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, look, first of all, I love her. She's my niece. My sister's name is Christine, by the way, and so I feel like I can talk to you about this. My niece, Megan, is beautiful to me. But her
have you ever been in psychotherapy or any kind of therapy for yourself?
Have I had what kind of therapy?
Any kind of therapy for yourself?
What kind of therapy? Physical
sister?
Therapy? When I blew my knee out when we were playing tennis?
No, I'm talking about therapy with a therapist that you talk things out with.
Oh, my God.
No? You've never done that?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
How dare you?
She's asking about going to psychotherapy. What's the big deal?
Oh, my God. Do you think I'm insane? Is that it?
Everybody goes to some kind of therapy.
No, I don't think you're insane. I think you've got some problems.
Do you think I'm insane? Do you think I'm insane? That's my question.
No! Nobody thinks you're insane. People go to head shrinkers.
You are. Right. Have I been to a psychiatrist?
Not everybody's crazy to go.
Have I been to a psychiatrist? Is that what you're asking?
Have you been to a counselor?
Oh my God.
Do you think she's Sybil?
Why is that such an odd question?
Why do you think she's Sybil?
Nobody says she's Sybil.
You think it's the three faces of Eve? Do you think I belong in the snake pit? Do you think I belong in Shock Corridor? Do you think I'm that woman from Shock Corridor? Do you remember that movie? The nymphomaniac that attacked Peter Breck? You don't remember
that? I have no idea what you're talking about.
There was the movie Shock Corridor based on a true story. A newspaper writer.
Oh, will you get out of here with Shock Corridor?
I don't want to get into that kind of stuff.
I'm simply saying,
that's not that important.
Christine, what Christine's saying is very important here. Your issues with your father are deserving of being discussed with a psychologist.
When I can solve those problems by giving myself something and my sister something that we never had, which is a pure pageant win, blue ribbon.
Blue ribbon win, Mr. Henry.
A blue ribbon. That's the gold medal.
Hon, I'm going to pray for you
much. Oh, my God. You're praying for me, which is the same thing as saying. You know what that means? That means that's the same thing as saying, excuse my language, it's the same thing as saying F you. It's the same thing as saying F you.
What is?
Saying I'm going to pray for you.
No, it isn't. And Christine, you're very sweet. Thank you for your call. 877-876-7445. That lady was being, I think, very nice to you.
She said I needed a psychiatrist, Mr. Henry. Now, if you ever saw Straitjacket with Joan Crawford...
Oh, come on, will you? Nobody is saying that you need to go into the snake pit or bedlam or shock corridor. No one is saying that you're some nymphomaniac crawling all over Peter Breck. Wow. Wow. Have you ever been to a therapist? Oh, what do you think? This is bedlam? The snake pit? We'll be back here on the Phil Henry Show. It's unbelievable. And if we weren't talking about a child, a little 8-year-old girl having her face injected with Botox, which is just disgusting, it would be a lot funnier than it is. 877-876-7445. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
I do it, but...
Wrinkles?
Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to play the thing.
I see, wrinkles and,
God.
It just,
I don't know.
I just, don't,
That is the little, that's the little 8-year-old girl, though, that we're talking about. That's the child who says, well, I don't like wrinkles. What child could actually make that kind of a call? What child could make a decision like that, Ms. Dooley? You're defending the use of this Botox for children, and I'm wondering how does any mother, any responsible mother, let the child make the call?
So I don't think, unless you're in the world of, there's a lot of pressure on those children. They want to do their best. They know that if they win the pageant, that their mothers and their grandfathers are able to reconcile.
And you're telling me the kid knows that?
I think instinctively, yes. I really do. You know, Phil, it's interesting you talking about me and my perception, agreeing with that caller that perhaps I needed therapy. I heard you say during the break, talking to Mr. Rance, that in the film Mommy Dearest, the daughter was played by Diane Lane, not Diana Skarwitz. Diane Lane, at the time, would have been about 60 with a big, fat rear end.
point. Back to Mr. Henry. We need a psychiatrist.
I got the name wrong.
And we need a psychiatrist,
Doc. And I need a psychiatrist?
That's not needing a psychiatrist. That's getting the name wrong on an actress. It was Scarwood. 877-876-7445. Here is Mary. Hi, Mary. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Hi, Mary. Hi to both of you. I just have a question.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. Respectfully to you, why do you feel like every single child has to be a pageant winner?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know that every single child can be a pageant winner. Obviously, they can't. Should every single child be in a pageant? I think there is a case to be made for that, because when you look at, Mary, your relationship with your father, and...
I don't know what this has to do with any pageant.
Excuse me, I'm talking to Mary. Are you there, Mary?
Yes.
I think that when you and I look at the relationships we had with our fathers, we need to repair those. The best way to do it is to win a beauty pageant. We didn't, did we? You didn't, I didn't. But we do have a chance with our daughters or our nieces.
Why do you feel like that's the best way to rebuild that relationship? Why can't my father be proud of me because I'm a good citizen, because I'm a foster parent, because I take in stray animals, because I'm a, you know, there's so many, because I volunteer at the homeless shelter, because I am a dentist, because I mean, there's so many. I don't understand why that is the only way
you feel like. It would be great. It would be great if he did, but he doesn't. He doesn't respect you for those things, just as my father doesn't. So what else is left to us?
Why do you think, though, that my father does respect me for what I do, and I'm not 6 foot tall, and I don't have long blonde hair, and I don't have blue eyes, and I'm not a model, and I'm not winning pageants, but you know what? I sleep at night knowing that my father loves me.
Okay, all the things you just said there, you're not 6 feet tall, you don't have blue eyes, you don't win pageants, well then, obviously, you've got a problem with him.
Why?
What?
Because of all the things you just said. Didn't you just say that you're not...
She's just said that her father doesn't care whether she's 6 feet tall or blonde.
My father accepts me as a child. As a child who was created in the image of God. I mean, I don't know. When God creates something, I don't know that we need to, like, mess with it superficially.
I don't either. I just wish that our fathers loved us more so that we don't have to put our children through this, so that the genetic... So the genetic problem can be solved with a capital G and a capital P. The genetic problem.
What genetic problem is that?
The kid's face isn't making it.
We can't be cookie cutter people. We cannot be cookie cutter people. Not everyone can be, you know, with no wrinkles and no dimple in their chin.
But we can try. We can try. And
no, we don't have to try.
Why would we want to try? Why would we all want to try?
So we don't frighten, so we don't scare people. So that we get the love of our Father and we don't scare people. Yes, we don't,
It's
so that you... No, you got bigger problems.
Phil,
you have bigger problems than that.
Shut up.
No, you shut up.
You shut up.
From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. We're radio for patriots by patriots. We welcome you to our program here, and we also invite you to join us on our website, philhenryshow.com, where we have live streaming video of the show right now. Phil TV in HD, as a matter of fact. Hey, bud, where is it?
What?
Where's our title, man? Where's the... Wow, man. We lost our Phil TV title. I don't know what happened there, but... I see. Well, you know. In any event...
What happened?
Well, we usually have a little Phil TV graphic there, and it went away, but now it's back. Okay, so...
Where is it?
I fixed it already, okay?
Here, let me fix it.
You get away from there.
You already fixed it, man.
Anyway, welcome to our program, and as I said, we're on live streaming video right now, as well as all of our great affiliates across the country and like that. 877-877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. A couple of things that we're going to deal with this evening. One of them is a vote that just was taken, I believe, in New York City, in the state of New York, not New York City, but in the state of New York, having to do with gay marriage. It is passed in New York. We're going to talk about that with Doug Danger in just a moment. Then Chris Norton joins us, Chris Norton from Norton Splodes, and the issue of a website devoted to what he calls the M&M MILFs, double M MILFs, murdering mothers, I'd like to blank. And the entire issue around that regarding Casey Anthony. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And our affiliate spotlight tonight is on KPRC in Houston and WZFG Fargo, North Dakota. Two great stations on the Phil Henry Show radio network. Now, New York lawmakers narrowly voted to legalize same-sex marriage on Friday, handing activists a breakthrough victory in the state where the gay rights movement was born. New York's the nation's third most populous state joins Connecticut, Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, Iowa, and the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., in legally recognizing gay marriage. Gay rights advocates are hoping the vote will galvanize the movement around the country and help it regain momentum after an almost identical bill was defeated in New York in 2009 and similar measures failed in 2010 in New Jersey and this year in Maryland and in Rhode Island. A bill like that, of course, passed in the state of California and then was automatically, not automatically, but was immediately challenged by a referendum voted on by the people of the state of California, making it unconstitutional. And that rolled that back and became a target of a great many court challenges. No on 8 is still being challenged in the state of California, and it's anybody's guess at this particular time. A huge street party erupted, by the way, outside of the Stonewall Inn on Friday. That was where the initial, if you will, gay rights challenge to authority took place, the Stonewall Riots in the summer of 1969 in Greenwich Village, New York. Doug Danger joins us. Doug, you are a gay man and a gay journalist, and how are you feeling tonight?
Well, I think it's the beginning, Phil, and I think, as I've said on your program before, we've got a lot of work to do before we are able to push this rock over the top of the hill. New York is a big, big moment for gay people in this country. California would have been a big, big moment, but California backed off. California lost its nerve. You know, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and one of the things that I find that I pride myself in is being able to see who's got it, who doesn't, who can stand there and test the winds, the storms of time, if you will, and who is going to hide from the from these winds of change. New York did not hide. New York took on the challenge. New York passed it. California folded like a, you know, to put it in the axiom of the old joke, folded up like a cheap Chinese suitcase. It was a disgrace, but New York has given us hope again, Phil, but we're going to need a little bit more. We're going to need a face. We're going to need a galvanizing point around which gay people around this country can rally.
All right, well, here is New York State Senate. The New York State Senate stood on the right side of history, said Queens teacher Eugene Lovendusky, who is gay and said he hopes to marry someday. He repeated a chant he'd screamed during a protest at the Obama fundraiser, "I'm somebody, I deserve full equality." Cindy Lauper said, quote, "I've never been prouder to be a lifelong New Yorker than I am today with the passage of marriage equality." Cindy Lauper, the singer. A number of celebrities also praised the Senate vote. Lady Gaga tweeted that she couldn't stop crying, while Pink tweeted, "Congratulations, about time."
These are all, I think, great accolades coming from people who worked very, very hard, Phil. But I got together with Jim Rifko and a couple of other writers here on the West Coast. We feel that while the Cindy Laupers of the world, the Lady Gagas of the world, and so on and so forth are good, we need a galvanizing image, and we need a galvanizing image that is going to be rock solid, that isn't going to go anywhere. We are very saddened, as you are, Phil, as many people are, to note the passing of the great, great star Peter Falk.
Yes, yes, the Columbo.
Well, Columbo was just one of many things that Peter Falk did. Peter Falk was in Murder Incorporated. Peter Falk was in Pocket Full of Miracles. Peter Falk he had two Oscar nominations. He collected five, count them, five Emmy Awards. Very, very thoughtful man. He also, later on in life, was a part of the John Cassavetes franchise.
John Cassavetes is considered to be the father of independent film.
Yes, he was in Shadows. He was in Husband and a Woman Under the Influence. So Peter Falk was very close with John Cassavetes. And he also did comedy. It's The Mad, Mad, Mad World. Peter Falk is the perfect person, I think, to use as a symbol of the fight for gay rights.
And was he gay?
No, Peter Falk was not gay. Peter Falk was straight. But Peter Falk has now passed on. He has, if you will, he's fought his good fight. So Peter Falk is no more, and we can use Peter Falk's image, the name, and of course this body of great work that he did as a great artist, as a great actor, and as a man that was fearless in his own life, to push forward the gay message that we want gay equality. And
well, wait, I'm a little bit confused. You would use Peter Falk. He's not gay, okay?
No, Peter Falk was not gay. He was married. But he is now passed on. So you could, my feeling, talking to Jim Rifko and a few of the others, my feeling is you can reconstruct or repurpose Peter Falk's life in this sense that he is now a gay actor. And he is now the symbol of the gay movement. And
first of all, how do you do that without his family's consent?
Well, his family, I think, first of all, Phil, Peter Falk was very liberal. Peter Falk was very much a liberal artist. I don't see his family having a problem with that. But more to the point, even if they did, there is nothing illegal about being gay. So if we said that Peter Falk is gay, you're not going to sue me, because that's like saying Phil Hendry has brown eyes. Do you?
No, I don't.
No, you've got blue eyes.
Yes.
Well, it's not suable. It's not actionable. I haven't really hurt you by saying that you have brown eyes.
Yeah, but you could hurt Peter Falk. And
how can I hurt Peter Falk by saying he is something that is legal? If I said that he is something that is legal, gay, I can't hurt him. By definition, I can't hurt him. So,
all right, but would you attempt to get the family's approval?
Well, here's my thinking. Certainly we would want the family to sign off on this, but that's not really the point. The point is Peter Falk is known to his friends and to his family as a straight man, but we would use Peter Falk as a gay man and a gay actor who fought tenaciously for gay rights, who, as a gay, was kept out of, and not as much as other gays were kept out of other professions, because it was the acting profession, and it was already, in the words of so many that were opposed to us, it was already infested and crawling with gays. But to be a gay man and a gay actor, you'd never know it. You felt as alone as ever. I mean, the journalist business was probably crawling with gays. It was probably just, it stunk with gays. But I never knew it when I first got in, because I felt I was the only gay. Oh, man, did I feel. I thought I was the only, excuse me for putting it this way, Phil, but I felt I was the only queer writer within thousands of miles. And
so there was no real contact between gay writers. There's no real contact between gay actors at a particular point in time.
Yeah.
All right, I understand that, but I'm still wondering how you can take Peter Falk, who just passed on, who is beloved. His character, Columbo, if nothing else, was so brilliantly done, like Leonard Nimoy's Spock, like, our good friend William Shatner's Captain Kirk, like Boris Karloff playing Frankenstein, like Bela Lugosi playing Dracula. There are actors who so fully create a character and so bring it to life so brilliantly that we never think of them as anything else. And that was Peter Falk.
Well, that was Peter Falk, exactly, Phil. But I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm telling you that Peter Falk has more work to do. Peter Falk is gay. He's a homosexual. He's not alive anymore, but when he lived, he was a homosexual actor, and he was a struggling homosexual, and really, I think, gave us so much to fight for through his leadership. Now,
yeah, but none of that's true.
I understand that none of it's true, but that's what we need to do now with Peter Falk, now that he has passed on. We take his image, we take his name, we thank his family very much, thank you very much, and we take it and we say, we take his image and we take his name and we put him up on that big billboard in Times Square and we say, Peter Falk, queer. And what are we doing? We're using him now.
People are going to be very angry. You can say what you want about the homophobia of this country. There, not everybody that is uncomfortable with what you're doing is a full-on homophobe. They might want gay marriage. They may be in favor of every kind of equality that you could possibly give to a gay person. But they may be very, very upset or put out with you taking Peter Falk's name and attaching to it, he was a homosexual.
We need a strong, you got to understand something, Phil. This is not something that, I don't think you understand. We need a strong leader. We need a strong image. We need a strong symbol to gather around. We don't have Harvey Milk anymore, okay? We don't have some of the great leaders anymore. All we can do now is take a big name, someone who doesn't need that name anymore, Peter Falk, and repurpose Peter Falk as gay. Repurpose Peter Falk as a homosexual who struggled all of his life and overcame those odds, and
repurpose.
Will you listen to me? Are you listening to me?
Yes.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? And the things that I know and the things that I've seen would make you and many of your listeners vomit. All right, Phil?
I understand that, Doug.
Just hold on for a minute. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and the things that I've had to go through, the things that I've seen, the discrimination I've faced, the brutality that I've seen against my community and against me personally, if you or any of your audience had to experience that, they would never stop throwing up. Okay? Peter Falk now belongs to the gay community.
And why is that?
Because, all right, I'll give you an answer. Because I said so. How does that...
Well, that's not how it works, okay? The guy has a name.
I know the guy has a name. I understand that he has a name. I'm not asking him to sell potato chips. I'm not asking Peter Falk to sell razor blades. I'm not asking Peter Falk to promote a political candidate. I'm asking Peter Falk, and I'm not even asking Peter Falk because he's dead. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm telling Peter Falk that from this point forward, we need him as the image of the gay community.
All right, how does this work out then? Peter Falk, a homosexual, wants us to...
Yes, Peter Falk, a gay actor, a gay man and a gay actor, wants us to pass gay marriage in this country. Peter Falk fought for this all of his life. Peter...
These are lies, Doug. These are lies. They are...
No, they are not lies. Why do you say they're lies?
Peter Falk never did that.
So in other words, you're saying he was against human rights.
No, he was not against human rights. Is what I knew of Peter Falk, he was not against human rights, of course. But he never... You don't know what he did.
And you don't know what he did. And to say that Peter Falk fought against discrimination, that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. To say that Peter Falk was a homosexual who wanted equality in acting, that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing.
How is that not a bad... Why is that a good thing?
Is it bad?
It's not true. It's not true.
Is it bad?
Is it bad to say that Peter Falk was a homosexual? In the minds of...
In your eyes, is that bad? But watch how you answer this. Watch it, man, because you could rip the lid right off of your egalitarian persona, Phil.
I would say that saying something about a man that isn't true is bad.
Boy, do you hate queer...
Hold on for a minute. I had to put him on hold there. I apologize, folks. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Doug Danger and others want to use Peter Falk as the new symbol of the gay community. He's dead. He passed on. He's no longer with us. He wouldn't mind being used as a symbol of the equality of gay people. And as Doug said, they want to, quote, repurpose Peter Falk's life so that he was a gay actor seeking equal rights, and he becomes the new symbol of the gay community. Is this fair, even if it's not anything necessarily negative? Can you do that with a man's name because he happens to be famous? 877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-7445. Ladies and gentlemen, you're watching the world famous, and you're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Well, you can't believe what we have. Doug Danger on the line with us from the Orange County Courier. He's a writer, a gay man, and gay journalist, and the vote is in New York. The New York State Legislature has approved a bill that would legalize gay marriage. Now, who knows if they're in store for a constitutional challenge or a referendum challenge or something like that, Doug, but for now, for people who support the equal rights of gay people, it's good news.
Right, and Phil, I would say to your audience, you have always been one who claimed to support gay rights, and yet tonight you're giving me an argument.
And well, the argument I'm giving you is that you want to use Peter Falk as the face of gay rights in this country. And
I want to use a man who is a great artist, a great actor, a man who was, I think, well known as a liberal and a person who supported artistic rights and human rights. Yes, and say Peter Falk was gay. He had a gay lover. We can talk of any number of actors who'd be good that we are auditioning right now who can play the part of this gay, of a gay that he lived with. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've been down a road that would make you vomit.
I already know your credentials of having been down the road and things are really rough. I know that, Doug.
Well, don't minimize it by telling me I don't know what I'm talking about. And
I don't. When it comes to your life, you know everything. When it comes to Peter Falk's life, I'm just saying I don't know that you can just automatically say, okay, great, Peter Falk's dead. Now we'll use him as a symbol of gay rights.
Well, anybody who is a hardcore fan of Peter Falk knows that he's not gay. Anyone who's a fan of Peter Falk will know, will think he was gay, but it won't matter. And
hardcore fan as opposed to a regular fan.
Exactly.
877-876-7445, the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to a phone call. We have David. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. David, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm personally offended that this man would say something derogatory about Peter Falk.
That's not derogatory. There's nothing derogatory about a legal... No, it's not. It's a legal state. Being gay is legal. Can't be derogatory.
You can make up anything about anybody that's passed away, then. Why don't you
Can't. It's not only... No, you can't say that the guy was a child molester. That's illegal. Can't say he was a murderer. But I could say someone's a heterosexual. I could say someone's gay. I could say somebody had blonde hair, blue eyes.
Yeah, but why would you do that? The point that I'm saying is this. Don't you feel you need to just get someone's...
No, I wouldn't want to lie about it. I wouldn't use you, David, with all due respect, because nobody knows who you are. But I would use Peter Falk because people know him.
Well, that's glad. You know, some of us that... Maybe he was... Your role model should be Rock Hudson. Look what happened to him.
Rock Hudson. I'm not familiar with him.
He was an actor. He died of AIDS.
All right. So he died. All the better. I can't use him. I would rather use Peter Falk.
Well, this guy's saying something very intelligent. Why not use a gay man?
Who do you want me to use? No gays have died lately. And by the way, who says Peter Falk wasn't gay? Do you know that for a fact, David? No.
I know that he was married. Of course he was married.
There's a lot of gay guys that are married. Are you crazy? Come on, man. Wake up. Wake up, son.
All right, now, I don't want anything said on this show that you know for a fact Peter Falk was gay. Do you understand that?
Whoa, wait a minute, Sunshine.
No, don't call me Sunshine. Whether the man was or wasn't, we can sit here and talk about how you use that, but I don't want you saying you know for a fact. We'll be back with Phil Doug Danger. Phil Hendry. 877-876-PHIL.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're broadcasting from the El Pacifico. In the background here on Phil TV, though, is the Earth Cam from Hollywood Boulevard. Seems like a regular night as the summer begins here out on the West Coast. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. With me is Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier talking about the vote in New York State today to legalize gay marriage. It is a very big moment. And I do congratulate the people that worked so hard, all gay people in New York and across the country, Doug.
Well, you know, that sounds real nice, Phil, but when you talk to me, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? Okay, Phil?
Yes, yes.
Well, you know, your irritation at the fact that I'm gay.
I'm not irritated that you're gay. I'm talking to you about Peter Falk, the man who passed on yesterday from Alzheimer's, 83 years of age. An accomplished man. He had one hell of a career as an actor, and you've decided that you want to take his name and his image and turn him gay.
Right, and you're trying to say, you and other straights, don't make him into a gay. You're basically making him into some kind of a crawling animal. Okay? I got news for you, Phil.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying you're saying something that isn't true.
I'm saying something that is... It transcends truth. Peter Falk is strong. He's gay. All right, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. He's gay. So,
well, you can't just say that.
I'm saying it. Peter Falk is gay.
All right, I know he's not because I was a fan of his.
You're a super fan. I understand that. Most people were not. And if I say, you know, Peter Falk, the guy that was Columbo, they go, yeah. Excuse me for putting it this way, Phil, but as queer as a $3 bill. And they will...
And you're going to get an actor to play his lover, and you're going to construct a whole phony life just so you can promote gay rights.
It is to promote equal rights and civil rights. I'm shocked, I'm surprised that you don't see it that way.
877-876-PHIL on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let's go to Bob in Atlanta on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Bob, you're on with Doug Danger.
Hey, man, hey, Phil. My first time listening. I like your
Thank you.
Show, bud.
Thank you.
Okay, here's the deal. All right, you talk about Doug. You there, Bun?
Bun?
You
yeah,
there?
I'm here. Yeah, okay, and this isn't the first time. And this is not the first time you listen to the show either. Go ahead.
No, it really is. But check it out, man.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, it really is. Yeah, it really is. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. You know, you're awfully.
Are you gay? Let me ask you. Are you gay?
I'm not. No. But listen. Okay, you say that you want to reach
out to
this guy now that he's dead. You can't just repurpose the guy's legacy that he's left behind. You know, you can't just tell a lie about who he was and that.
Let's go over to Kevin on the Phil Henry Show. Kevin, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hey, Phil. My biggest issue
yes,
is
sir.
This. I've been in the journalism business for 20 years now, okay, up here in the Northeast. And you can't, and Doug, I know you're listening to me, you can't call yourself a journalist and throw out things that you are admitting you know are wrong and are lies just to advance an agenda. That's not.
Well, I don't know that you're a
journalism.
Journalist. I don't know you're a journalist. I don't know that you're a journalist, and I don't take advice from anonymous people that call talk shows. All right. I know what I do. I know what I do, and I know how I back up what I do. And you can't tell me how to write. You know, I'm in the business, and there's number one. My number one competition is you. So I don't need your advice or how you might write a story so that you don't get the job. I get the job. And I get the job because I go about doing these things, but I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Okay?
That's
okay?
All good. Sure.
You know that? All right, good. So I get the job done, especially when it comes to a topic like this.
So you said it every 10 seconds.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry you don't
know it.
But see, I'm out there. I'm out there doing it. I'm out there getting the story.
Life and legacy. I don't.
That's right.
First of all, I applaud New York State, and I'm from Massachusetts. First ones in the country to pass this law, and proud of it. You don't know if I'm gay or
whatever.
Straight, and I'm not going to tell you
whatever.
I'm gay or straight. It doesn't matter. What matters is
I'm a gay man. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Congratulations.
I'm a gay man and a gay. Okay, but what I'm saying is this: I know what I'm talking about. See, you don't.
No, that's not that. You can't say that, Doug. You can't say that.
Why can't I say that?
You don't know me.
You're both writers. You're both journalists. You're both men who go and look for the story.
The job of a journalist is to find the truth in the story.
Okay, fine. But do you say?
And you're admitting to telling a lie.
What I'm admitting to,
truth,
no, I'm not. Am I on the radio right now telling you that Peter Falk, we're going to make him gay? Is that telling a lie, or is that telling you a strategy?
And then when Phil asks...
Is that telling you a lie, or is that telling you a strategy? I'm telling you a strategy.
Well, I don't know exactly what he was. I mean, we think he was straight, but we don't know that. But here's the thing. Phil says
oh,
to you,
no, now
lie.
We don't know.
Well, we don't. We don't. I wasn't
Let me ask
friend.
You something. If you
know.
Died, let me ask you something, Kevin. If you died, and
because
I said, now
know.
We're going to make Kevin head of the gay community. Kevin is now gay. What does that really hurt?
You know what? That may hurt a lot of people. It may hurt a little boy.
Uh-huh. So now you're saying being gay is negative.
No, I'm not. I'm telling
no,
you right now, Doug, legal
all.
Or not, legal or not, it could hurt people.
Well, now I've heard it all. Now I've heard it all. So all you guys, you and Kevin and everybody, being gay is fine. I'm for equal rights, but let's face it, being gay is bad. That's
no,
what
no,
you're
no.
saying.
No, 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 no. Being gay is fine, but going out and picking somebody that you want to, anybody in the community, any star that you want to, and just saying as they are to advance your agenda, that's not journalism, and it's not right.
Why not? Well, I didn't say I was being a journalist. I said I was being an activist.
Well, which are you, a journalist
no, no, no,
or an
you
activist?
Can't, you can't be both. You keep saying
I'm a gay man.
And I'm going to use this guy. Here you go. Say it again. Go
wait a minute. I can't be both? Are you kidding me? I can't be both? What do you call Hunter Thompson? You don't think Hunter Thompson's an activist? You don't think that Norman Mailer? You don't think that Truman Capote?
Those guys weren't journalists in the sense that you guys are.
Hey, excuse me, Phil, if you don't mind. I'm talking to a fellow journalist, so if you could, shut up.
If I can, I'm not going to shut up.
Phil, are you not a journalist?
I'm a talk show host, I would say.
He's not a journalist. He's a professional performer. He's a SEAL, a trained SEAL.
I'll tell you what, Doug. You've crossed that line to become quite a performer tonight yourself, because what you're telling us is that you're putting out there this whole agenda, and you're telling us that we have to get behind it or else we are anti-gay. And you know what? That's not true. I'm not anti-gay.
You know,
I'm very proud of Massachusetts. I'm proud of New York State tonight. And here you are telling me that you're going to take somebody who has no say in the matter just because they died, and now you can use them, and you're going to advance your agenda with that. And then right after you say that, 10 seconds later, you're going to say, I'm a gay man and I'm a journalist.
I am a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm also a gay activist. I'm also somebody who knows when America is way behind the clock. We're way behind the ball on civil rights. Let's face it. We were way behind the ball on civil rights with black people. Now we're supposed to stand around and wait because Kevin wants to make sure that my credentials are in order. You want
to
make sure my papers are in order.
I'm supposed to get behind
just like the guy with that funny-looking helmet and those lightning bolts on his collar.
You're looking at a dead actor and throwing them in my face and saying, you know, you've got to find this guy was a strong man and he was gay, even though we don't know that for a fact. And you're telling me that I have to
on your
behind the agenda or else I'm anti-gay.
Wait a minute, I'm sitting him on your face. So see, that's you using a scurrilous anti-gay. And
he didn't say sitting him on your face.
I didn't say sitting.
Whoa, my friend.
Sitting.
I heard you say you want to stick it in my face or something like that.
No, he did not. He said as in your face, like in your face.
Yeah, like unzip him and shove him in your face.
No, he didn't say that.
No innuendo at all. What are you?
Well, you see,
about?
Because what you're doing is you're saying you're for gay rights and you're for equal rights. I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing with Peter Falk. And by the way, here's a little queer joke for you. Wow.
No, he's not.
Come on.
No, he's not. I listen to what the man said. I think what we have here, Doug, and by the way, this has been a very spirited exchange between the two of you.
What's that supposed to mean? Like this guy's saying something? I'm a gay man and a gay activist.
All right. Oh, all of a sudden you're not a journalist.
Oh, and I
Peter Falk. Peter Falk is gay, all right? And Peter Falk is going to be gay until such time as America remembers what its obligation is to people, all people, and that's equal rights. And until we have equal rights, guess what? I'll put Peter Falk in a brassiere.
Wow.
And what's Kevin going to do about it?
Boy, I'll tell you, and you would hurt his family.
Oh, boy, Henry, you're really showing your true colors. So if I got Peter Falk in a pair of panties, a brassiere, and a flimsy burnoose, you'd say what?
Unless that's not a Photoshop picture, if that's a real picture of his life and what he did, then you are definitely doing something wrong, in my opinion. You can't do that to people.
You guys
you know,
say
being,
you
being gay
well,
is
you guys,
fine and dandy, but now you're taking a guy. I mean, I have gay friends who don't walk around in brassieres and panties. Are you kidding me?
You got gay friends who don't walk around in brassieres and panties in front of you.
Is
okay.
that equal? I mean,
if I want to take Peter.
No, you're talking about...
Well, get a load of you now. Now, see, all of a sudden...
Men.
Well, you're straight. Are you straight, right? Do you let your wife work you with a...
All right, hold on. I'm going to let you go, Kevin. I appreciate your call. Very, very good exchange, and I think you made some very good points. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. I had to dump that, Doug.
Oh, you had to dump that? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay? The roads that I've come down...
I know, would make me throw up.
That's right.
make me make you throw up, it would have made Kevin break down and cry. Now, Peter Falk, I know Peter Falk was straight. I'm not saying that Peter Falk wasn't straight. But for the purposes of the gay community and fighting for the rights so that we are married and gay and all of that stuff, I don't personally give a damn because, as you know, Phil, on your program the other night, I said I was against gay marriage because I don't want straights to see that we're better at it than them, and then they turn around and we got a civil war in our hands. But if gay people in this country are dead set on getting gay rights and getting a gay marriage, okay, fine. Here's my idea. Take Peter Falk, his image, his name, his movies, everything, and put him to work. Take one of the tough guy actors of all time and make him a sissy. If it will help gay rights.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You just don't care. It sounds to me like you don't care. It sounds to me like you are, essentially what you're saying is, take Peter Falk, even if it means using this guy in any which way, no matter who is hurt.
Boy, you're just blah, 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 right, you know?
No, I'm getting to a point.
No, you're not. You're starting talking and blah, blah, blah.
You know something, Doug? I got things to say, too, okay?
Well, then say it. You're like, well, the thing of the hundred of that. If I didn't know better, you're sitting there looking for a call.
I got calls.
I know, but you can't put it on the air because the guy was still screening it.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Lewis in Allentown, Pennsylvania. How you doing, Lewis? Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't know who this Doug is. I just happened to be going through the radio stations and came up with it. I'm
Doug Danger, sir. Yes,
and
sir.
I'm just a normal gay man, and I just have an opinion. After I pass away, I don't want somebody calling me straight. It's not like it's an insult. It's just not who I was. And he wasn't. If you want an icon, pick a gay icon. There are plenty of actors that were. You want a rock solid icon? Pick Rock Hudson. But don't call somebody straight or not after they pass away.
No good. Rock Hudson's AIDS. No good. No good.
I'm sorry.
We can't use
it. That's the way it goes. Oh, that's the way it goes. That's the roll of the dice, Doug. You know, some do, some don't. I mean, it happens. Pick somebody else.
We gotta use a guy. We gotta use a guy that right now has got the zeitgeist. You know, we gotta use a guy that right now has got the heat. Peter Falk's the guy. We make him gay for a few months.
But it is a lie. I mean, he wasn't gay. Why say that?
Let me ask you a question, okay? Let me ask you a question. What's the difference, really, between a gay and a straight? Other than sexual orientation? Nothing.
I'd have to say that's probably about it. But that's a pretty big difference, I think.
Well, hold on. But you can't see that the way a man walks down the street. You can't see that in the eyes of a man. If I put Peter Falk out there and I go, see Peter Falk, Columbo, you know him? Yeah? Well, guess what? Gay. All right? Now people look at him and go, wow, Peter Falk was gay? Let's legalize gay marriage.
Are you kidding me? What makes you think that it's going to be that easy?
Excuse me, I'm talking to other gay men.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
Why is that ridiculous?
Because it isn't true. It just is.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay?
Let me tell you, Doug, I want to tell you something. Really, I'm not into an exchange. This is a statement, okay? Let me speak. You are delusional, all right? You have already said you're a gay man, a gay journalist, about 15 times in the past four minutes, even with the other call. Good for you. Get over it. It's not only who you are. You know, sometimes I think you forget the other things you are because you're so obsessed with that.
I know what I am. I know that I am the son.
That's right, but not
of Jim. I know I'm the son of Jim and Ellen Danger. I know who I am. I know my family. But as a gay man and as a gay journalist and as a gay activist, all right, I'm gay. You know that. And you know that, right?
Are you kidding?
You know, sir, Mr. Henry, you know, peel a straight person deep enough, you find a homophobe every time.
And that's me, huh?
I absolutely disagree with that. Absolutely disagree with that.
That's the
whole
show.
You know what, Doug? You better find yourself new friends, honestly, because you've been misled. You think you have to proclaim who you are by your sexuality only to get some kind of respect. And honestly, it's a dog and pony show. That's what it seems like to me.
When I'm out there in the straight world, and I got to muscle my way to get my piece of the trough, I got to tell them I'm gay. Now, what do you think of me? And if they look at me cross-eyed, you know.
Hey, yeah. I'm out there in the straight world every day, and I get my piece at the trough. And I don't have to proclaim that. I don't proclaim that to anybody. There's sometimes I want to say it, and sometimes I don't. But I don't have to say that to get what's coming to me. All I have to be is a human being. It's as simple as that.
Let me give you an example. I walked into a 7-Eleven the other day, okay? And I said to the kid, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I want a pack of Marlboros. Now, what do you think he did? He gives me the eye roll like I'm some kind of a weird ass. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm giving you the eye roll.
What is so funny, Mr. Straight?
Are you kidding me? You walked into a 7-Eleven.
Yes.
And you said, I'd like a pack of Marlboros. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Yeah.
Well, of course he's going to roll his eyeballs at you.
Yeah, well, guess what? He ain't going to be doing that much longer, because I grabbed him by the shirt and pinned him up against the cash register, and I said, I bet you think I'm a sissy. You want to test that thesis? He didn't want any part of it. Okay?
Well, you know what?
I'm fighting that fight.
Whoa, I have something to say in here, Doug. You're very insecure. You know, you're coming across as very insecure. What's
something,
the problem?
Phil? Lewis, you got a straight guy now, and you're ganging up on a fellow gay. On one of your fellow... gay, no.
Okay. I gotta, you know.
Oh, yeah, ha, ha, ha. Okay, I hope you guys, boy.
But Doug, come on, man. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'd like a pack of Marlboros.
And the kid rolls his eyes at me? Mr. Homer.
I would have rolled my eyes at you, too. That's absolutely ridiculous to proclaim that in the store. I'll tell you what, they chatted about you after you left.
All right, listen, Lewis, thank you for your call. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. I got to take a break. I apologize, Doug. I know he's going to be angry at me for just putting him on hold. We will be back as Doug Danger continues to insist that Peter Falk has passed on. What better person to use now as a symbol of the gay community? Peter Falk. He's now gay, had a lover. Doug has a whole, if you'll pardon the expression, backstory. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio. Boy, for Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And Clarence Clemens.
Clarence Clemens. All right, on the line is Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier as we talk about the vote for gay marriage in New York State tonight, which approved gay marriage in New York State. And there has been a celebration there in the gay community, as there has been across the country. And I have been a supporter of the equal rights of gay people for as long as the debate's been going on. So I can tell you that myself, I'm very happy. And I would hope, Doug, that you would take that in the spirit that it's intended and not look suspiciously at me like I'm some kind of a straight guy who's trying to, get in on the coattails of something else.
Well, I mean, the thing that bothers me, Fillmore, I know that you're a fair-minded man, but I just said to you that we can use Clarence Clemens as a homosexual. And
okay, I mean, how many guys do you need?
That's what you said to me off air. So, see, now you're really bothered by it because I'm using a black guy. It's not because he's black. It's because he's got a very visible image. He was a very strong, powerful image. Clarence Clemens and Peter Falk, two homosexuals that...
You can't... boy.
Yeah. There. See?
See what?
It bothers you that I'm using Clarence Clemens. Why is that?
Doug, it's the cumulative effect of you using Peter Falk, now Clarence Clemens. You could say, I'll tell you who else just died. James Arness. How about that?
Yeah, no, you wouldn't. No one. James Arness is only known by old people. You wouldn't have used that. In fact, you would have used James Arness. You'd say, well, that's okay, because no one knows who he is.
Peter Falk, it was also known by an older generation of people. And yet, and still, I say, it is his image, his name. Now you want to pile on with Clarence Clemens in an effort to... somehow give the gay community a visible face, a powerful image to follow behind. Here is Chris in Los Angeles. Go ahead, Chris. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. I wanted to ask your guests, why exactly he thinks we need this new gay icon?
Well, I think we need to push this over the top. I think we've had the fight in California. It has scared a lot of people. I think this fight still could loom in New York State because who knows what they've got, you know, planning. And I think not only do we need Peter Falk, we do need Clarence Clemens. What do you think of that?
I think Clarence. It's ridiculous. No,
Clarence Clemens?
You're saying that after all the fight and after all the progress that the gay community has made, you're saying now what we need is a gay
community. Yeah, we do. No, we need a gay Clarence Clemens. That's what we need.